In this episode of Journey to Justice, we will unravel the threads of deceit, premeditation and betrayal. We'll follow the courtroom revelations, the secret communications, and the fight to hold those responsible accountable. This is the story of a mother whose life was stolen and the ongoing quest for justice.
This is an Algoa FM news exclusive.
Why don't you listen to your father? And they will see that your mother is not 100% and that she's got drugs in her system, and they will ask her then to go with him to have it tested at a private doctor. You don't want the police there. Okay?
Okay.
I don't want to do it, but I need to tell you to come back home. If you don't want to come back home, you leave me no option than to send the police, and believe me, she will not tell you the truth, but she would hate the police to come there and say to her, perhaps because it was mentioned that you are using drugs, let's go for a test to prove your innocence, which she didn't want to do today. If she was innocent, I'm paying for that test, go for the test, prove me wrong. If she doesn't want to go, I will get the police to take her for a blood test. Okay? You can always go back at another time, not tonight.
Why not tonight? Out of all the other times?
It is what it is, okay? So, it's now 6:30. If you're not home 7 o'clock, then you must really bear the consequences. When the police stop there, just come over to our house so that they can handle it. They know what to do. Is Leech there?
Leech? No,
yeah.
He's not your wire.
I thought he's there.
No.
Okay.
Why?
No, I thought he's there. Isn't his car there?
No.
Okay, no, I don't know. I thought the leech is there. Okay, and that's why you don't want to come over. Okay, so 7 o'clock. It's 30 from now. Don't let me do it. Another day, so another time, perhaps. Not tonight. Okay, come back home, come eat, relax. We can take the matter further tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay. Cool. I love you.
Okay, I love you too.
Bye bye, Boyki.
Bye.
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 Goeiemôre.
Goeiemôre, hoe gaan dit?
Goed met jou.
Kan nie klaar nie, man. Jammer vir die boodskap wat ek so vroeg gestuur het vanoggend.
Ek het hom eers gehoor, ek het vanoggend toe ek die eerste keer my foon vat, toe sien ek het eers, sorry man, Jesus, het jy reg gekom?
Nee, ek het nog nie reg gekom. Kyk, dit wat ek wil gaan haal, nee. Ek doen basies 'n ouwe guns deur vir hom die, hoe kan ek nou sê, die eisters te gaan optel.
Mm.
So, hy het gesê, as ek het vir hom gaan haal, dan sal hy vir my die nodige daad doen.
Mm.
Ja, so, dit is my nie basies, ek wil nie in die starige karretjie ry om het te gaan haal nie.
Ja, shit. Joh, Leech, is 'n moeilike een. Ek, my, die,
is moeilik, ja.
Ja, Christel se bakkie gaan in vir 'n diens. Hy staan nou klaar oor 21,000. Hy moes 20,000 al ingegaan het. En ons ry môre oggend vroeg, ry ons weer oos Londen toe.
Okay.
So, joh, hoe anders?
Ek kan, kyk, ek ry hier, kan ek nou miskien upgrade vir 'n dag?
Ja.
Ek weet nie. Ek dink dat dit sal ook die makkelijkste wees en sit niks met jou.
Ja, ja. Leech, is reg so. Wat is die kostes?
Ek gaan moet uitvind.
Jy hou hem nog in jou naam nie?
Ja, ja.
Ok, maar hulle vat die kontant nie, nie.
Hulle doen, ja.
O, ok. Leech, by die hek.
Ja.
Ga jy vir my laat weet hoeveel dit is?
Ja, ek sê.
Ek probeer dit dan.
Ek
sal ek is by die huis die heel dag, ons gaan miskien net later vir 'n uur of so uit, dan los ek dit. Hoe gaan ek dit los vir jou?
Jy kan dit by die sekuriteit los.
Okay, 100%.
Hy sal verstaan, hy is goed met my.
Okay, 100%. Ja.
Okay,
dis 'n dankie. Toe reg. Okay. Toe reg. Dankie. Bye.
Welcome to Journey to Justice Season 4, the final season in the Vicky Terblanche murder saga. For those who are new to the story, feel free to catch up with Season 1 and make sure to follow Season 4 as we tackle the last hurdle, the final accused, who must still face the music. Vicky's estranged husband, Arnold Terblanche, will finally have his day in court in a case that has dragged on for just under 4.5 years. Arnold Terblanche was arrested for his alleged involvement in Vicky's murder a month after her death. The arrest and subsequent battle to be released on bail would dominate the headlines for over a year. As Arnold was arrested in November 2021, he was desperate to get bail in the magistrate's court so that he could be with his family during Christmas. The matter was heard by Magistrate Cribben Pillay when the Omicron variant took hold in the Nelson Mandela Bay Metro. But with the information presented by the state to the court at the time, Terblanche's bail bid was denied. Pillay said the state had a strong case against him and that he could interfere with state witnesses and possibly evade his trial, as Arnold was facing a possible life sentence in prison. Arnold appealed this ruling, and it was heard in the High Court of Gqeberha by Judge Glenn Goosen, who agreed with Pillay's findings and denied bail. Arnold did not give up and appealed again, arguing that he had new facts. And if you remember, there were a lot of things that came out in this case that were not known prior to the first bail application. So Judge Sunil Rugunanan afforded Terblanche the opportunity to bring reasons why he should be granted bail. Then on the same day, a lifeline was given to Arnold, but then he was arrested at St. Albans Prison again on the exact same day for allegedly plotting to have his co-accused murdered, among other things. But despite this, they took the matter to the High Court in Makhanda, and bail of R1 million was granted. Now fast forward to today, and Arnold remains out on bail. His bail conditions have since been relaxed, and he's even remarried because life goes on, right? I do not think it is fair for any murder accused to have to wait so long to have their day in court. But unfortunately, it is the reality for many in South Africa. Hence the saying, justice delayed is justice denied. And the same goes for the state's first 204 witness, Mario de Redder Jr., whose fate lies in his testimony in this trial. So he too has this dark cloud over his head, as it is so intertwined. And life continued for everyone over the past few years. Look at State Prosecutor Maria Stander. He has since been promoted to Deputy Director of Public Prosecutions in Gqeberha. Even Arnold's lawyer, Peter Doberman, told the Herald newspaper that it was a well-deserved and welcome appointment. The investigating officer, Lieutenant Colonel Kana Swanepoel, is counting the days to his retirement in 2027. And then there's Dylan Cullis, the first person to be sentenced for the murder, who's counting down the months to when he can be eligible for parole. Cullis, who led police to Vicky's grave, took a plea deal and was sentenced to 18 years in prison. So, when he had served a third of that, he could be eligible for parole. So technically that is 6 years, and he's already been in custody for 4.5 years. Then there's Reinhard Leach, Vicky's boyfriend, who was sentenced to an effective 22 years, escaping a life sentence, meaning he too could eventually be eligible for parole. For Arnold, this has been taxing his wallet, with millions already spent on legal fees, and this trial will cost him millions more. He was supposed to be tried with Leach, but when Leach pleaded guilty, the trials were separated. Then a trial date for Arnold was set for October 2025 and then postponed again to March 2026. It's important to note, this trial has been scheduled for only 3 weeks, the only time available for now. So depending on how many witnesses that the state calls, that might not be enough to wrap up the case. So I'm just giving you a fair warning. Now, Arnold has already pleaded not guilty to all the charges. He is facing 6 charges. So now I would like to break them down for you. Count 1, conspiracy to commit murder. The state believes he conspired with Cullis, Leach and Mario de Ridder Jr. to have Vicky killed. Count 2, murder. Although Arnold was never present when Vicky was killed, the state argues that all of them acted in a common purpose. Therefore, Arnold is also facing count 3, robbery with aggravating circumstances. Count 4, defeating the ends of justice. That's like reporting Vicky as missing while knowing she was dead, essentially sending police on a wild goose chase, because that is also what Reinhard Leach was charged for and eventually found guilty of. Then Arnold is facing count 5, another conspiracy to commit murder charge. The state believes Arnold planned, while in prison, to have Cullis, Leach and de Ridder Jr. killed. Then count 6, conspiracy to defeat the ends of justice. And this relates to money he paid state witness Phindile Zweni to allegedly bribe the magistrate hearing his bail, which was Cribben Pillay at the time. Also, he allegedly wanted to remove Lieutenant Colonel Swanepoel from the case, obtain affidavits he wasn't entitled to, influence judge appointments, and persuade Dylan Cullis to change his statement. And you can catch up on all of this in the episode entitled The Friendship in Season 1, Episode 7. Arnold admitted to paying Zweni R500,000 with explanations for each amount. Now, looking at the witness list, it's the same as in the Leach trial, but remember, Arnold's trial is new in front of a new yet revealed judge who doesn't know Vicky's story. Everything will have to be presented as if you were stroking a paintbrush on a blank canvas. Many witnesses from Leach's trial will be called again, including the pathologist testifying on how Vicky died. But beyond duplicate witnesses, we have what I would like to call defense hurdles. So let's look at these hurdles. Defense hurdle number 1, Mario de Ridder Jr., a state witness from day one, even before Arnold was arrested. We don't know the full content of his statement, but during Leach's trial, it was suggested that he would testify that he was in the car when Leach told Arnold the murder was done. The defense hurdle number 2, Dylan Cullis. What we know is what Cullis testified to during the Leach trial. In reference to Arnold, he would definitely be called as a witness in the new trial, where he will no doubt face tough questions from Peter Doberman. So what did Cullis say on the stand when he testified in the Leach trial? He said he met Arnold de Blanche for the first time when they appeared in court together, adding that Reinhard Leach approached him in the holding cells, asking him to take the fall for the crime and promising that Arnold would look after him if he did. He also said that Arnold approached him a second time in the holding cells and asked him to change his statement so it would not implicate him. The last question advocate Marius Thunder asked Cullis was if he was aware of plans to have him killed in prison, to which Cullis replied, yes. This brings us to another smoking gun, Crystal Wiggle, Arnold's ex, the girl he was dating during Vicky's murder. She had no choice but to become a state witness, and thus her relationship with Arnold quickly unraveled. She was the one who allegedly started to look for a new place to live for Leach, knowing that Vicky would soon be dead, and Leach, therefore, homeless. This is what the state says. During Leach's trial, Crystal was not called to the stand, but rather her twin sister, who testified that they were told to try to get Vicky fired from her job at KW Explore, as Arnold wanted to make her life as difficult as possible. Crystal, who was in Johannesburg at the time with Arnold, also communicated with her sister on a regular basis to try and figure out a plan or a strategy to get police to go to Vicky's home to see the mess it was left in. Some other witnesses worth noting is Arnold's domestic worker, Sharon Yelani. She has her own lawyer and was instructed by Arnold, her employer, to go to Vicky's house to get clothes for his son. She was also instructed to take photographs of the mess at Vicky's house and to send it to him so that he could send it to the family advocate. Now, during the pre-trial conference, Stunder argued that Yelani had no right whatsoever to go into Vicky's home, further complaining that he had problems at the time to consult with her, telling the judge that she and Arnold had trampled all over the crime scene before police could get there. I will now take you back to a clip from a previous episode where I used voice actors to portray the WhatsApp conversation between the twins. Now, the following conversation is a reenactment with certain parts redacted. It took place on October the 20th and also on the 21st of October 2021.
Can you do me a favor? Can you phone the police and say that you heard a domestic violence incident at number 20? You're also aware that there has been illegal activity going on there? And can they dispatch a van to go look if the people are okay? Arnold's guys went into Vicky's house. She's not there, but her crack pipe, coke and weed is lying everywhere. So, say that you live in the complex. I can't call from here because they dispatched me to the Johannesburg police station. If they ask who stays there, say Vicky to Blanche. Focus on evidence of illegal activity. Also inform them that there's a minor living there. If they refuse to go in, I'm going to say I'm worried if there's a dead body in there, so they need to get in. Yes, definitely. Are the police there yet?
No, still waiting.
Maybe you should call again and say you're waiting there.
Are we expecting this female to come back anytime soon?
No.
Any idea where she would have went?
No idea, girl. Leach says it's her birthday tomorrow and she has gone for a bender. Okay, cool. Arnold is on the phone with Sharon now. You can just tell Sharon when you're there that she called the security and they made contact with you if need be.
They're going to ask me if I've tried to call this woman, so what must I do?
Tell them that you can't get in contact with her and you think you should let the family know to file a missing persons report.
Okay, can I make it if I call your number from my work phone and you just press dead?
Yes. Take her number though, it goes straight to voicemail. You can now also walk in now because Sharon is there. Take photos.
Okay, I'll keep you posted. Find Sharon, Chris, they're busy cleaning up inside here. Who's this other lad Lighty here?
I have no idea, girl. Sharon says she isn't cleaning up.
Fuck, I actually don't know what to say to the police right now. Sharon said to the guys that I'm here to take pictures of the house, but the story is just not lining up. But the stuff isn't here. Can you phone me, Chris? Chris, please call me back. Fuck, Zach's been holding for 10 minutes already on the 10111 number. I'm getting anxious in the house. I don't want to be here in case she comes home, Chris.
She won't.
Don't stress. We're going to the police station now. Do I go with to the police station and just make sure he does what he needs to?
Yes, please, if you can. Maybe follow up with him later if you need to leave. Leach went back home to get a photo of Vicky for the report.
Fuck, I hope he hasn't cleaned any of the drugs or used it. He must leave everything as is.
He said he left it as is.
Perfect. He needs to flip and get out of here. You know, Chris, I nearly vomited from the smell in the house. Those dogs have no food or water. I feel so sorry for them.
That's disgusting. When we get home, we're fetching the dogs.
Needless to say, the next defense hurdle would have to be Reinhard Leach, who decided to testify against Arnold when Stunder asked him on the stand if he was willing to do so. So what did Leach say about Arnold during his trial? He admitted to using different SIM cards to communicate with LeBlanche and said that during their infamous meeting at the Chelsea Sports Bar, Arnold had asked him for help to permanently get rid of Vicky, making a hand-to-the-throat gesture, which would be impossible to prove unless you have a witness. But be that as it may, Leach also said in his plea that LeBlanche paid for the drugs he got in prison. You remember when Leach was caught with drugs during one of his court appearances when the matter was still in the magistrate's court? In fact, Leach even went as far as explaining how he would get the drugs in something called a token system used in prison. An advocate standard calculated it to be a couple of thousands of rand, further questioning why a man would spend money on Leach's drug habit, the person who he said killed the mother of his child. Then there was this one voice note that was sent from Leach to Ter Blanche, where Leach said he and Vicky had a fight, she was acting strange, and he saw Vicky with colors and he left the house. When he came back, Vicky was gone. Now this voice note, according to the state, was a smokescreen. And Leach testified that indeed it was what he called an eye blind message, which he discussed with Arnold as they were planning to go to the police to report Vicky as missing.
Leach, wat ek van jou dringend nodig het, nee, is 'n affidavit. Ek gaan jou naam gebruik. Jy het gehoor die familieadvokaat is heavy persoonlik. Hulle hou die Poppy Act bind hulle kwaai. Hulle kan nie sê, as jy sê jy gebruik nie my naam, dan kan jy nie my naam of nommer of enigiets. Jy gaan vir my affidavit moet met al die goed wat ek en jy bespreek het. Die feit dat sy gesê het jy moet my laat uithaal. Die feit dat sy dwelms gebruik, jy dit gaan haal vir en later het jy opgehou toe kry sy dit oor die muur en dan moet jy dit eindig deur te sê jy persoonlik dink as 'n ex-onderwyser dat is nie veilig by haar nie, dat liewer by sy pa moet wees. Want ek het dit nodig vir vroeg môreoggend. Ek moet eintlik e-pos vandag, want môreoggend ry ons vroeg. As ek dit vanmiddag vir die familieadvokaat kan dan het hulle ten minste skryf, want hulle het net telefonies met jou gesels en hulle en die 19de wat Dinsdag is, dan kom daai ding in die hof, dan moet hulle ten minste die dokumentasie vir die regter kan wys, want dan gaan die regter besluit, gaan ons aan met 50-50 of moet maar eers vir veiligheid net by my bly. As ek daai affidavit van jou kan kry nie, is ek 100% geholpe vandag.
Okay.
Het hoeveel lang storie te wees, net daai paar punte wat jy genoem het, en dan sluit jy dit af deur te sê, ek dink is nie veilig om hier by haar te wees nie.
Ja.
Dan is my kop 110% deur, asseblief man.
Ja.
Doodreg, ek sal dit versoek. Absoluut, daai kind is nie lekker nie, hoor, ek beloof jou, dat hy goed maal in sy kop.
Ek kan dit optel, ja.
Jy sien, hy sien homself nie. Maar jy moet tog maar lekker kontak maar hou met hom, laat hy net ook gerus wees dat jy ten minste daar is vir hom.
Ja.
Asseblief man. Hy's op en af in die kamer, dan kom hy af, so hy's onrustig, jy weet.
Okay.
Maar as jy kan werk en hy verduidelik, dan kan jy dit vanmiddag vir my gee asseblief man.
Okay.
Ek ry nou ek toe, hoor.
Okay.
Thanks. Okay, goed, dankie, bye. Ja nee, ek was daar waar jy nou is, so ek probeer, ek verstaan hoe dit moet wees. Dit kan nie lekker wees nie.
Nee, ek weet. Sy gaan nou by jou tot wanneer sy vir die toets gaan, hè?
Yes, ja, sy wil nie vir die toets gaan nie.
Ek weet sy wil nie.
Ja.
Ja, sy rede. Sy gaan kom goed, obviously positief toets.
Yes.
Maar ek het weer gesê, maar nou, ek kan ons net as hy eindig instem. Dan sê jy net jy wil haar toets doen.
Dan sê jy nog verder. Ja, nee, dit is so. Leach, ons het nou lekker gesels die ander hand en ek het nooit veel gevra nie. Wat is die rede dat sy nie my aanbod aanvaar nie?
Dink is maar weer eendag op nie. Miskien môre of so. Kan ons weer gesels.
O, gaan jy my laat, okay. Ek wil jou nou nie in die spot sit as jy daar is nie.
Ja, so, definitief.
Enigste, ek is die heel naweek hierso, so jy kan maar net laat vir my weet wanneer waar.
Ek weet nie of jy 'n paar voetjie het of ietsie, maar ek het 'n SIM-kaart wat jy gerika as jy weet. Beter as mens dan so kommunikeer.
Is reg, 100%. Die laaste ding, kothou.
Yeah.
Ek is as my seentjie iets moet oorkom of sien wat hy nie moet sien nie, gaan dit nie vir my lekker wees nie, jy weet. En hy's heavy agterdogtig wat aangaan en hy probeer haar beskerm, jy weet, ek kan hoor hoe hy praat. 100%, okay, goed, my maat, lekker aan.
Goed,
dankie, bye.
All right, so I played you quite a few Afrikaans voice clips. Now, please note that this is in public record as it was led as evidence in the Leach trial. Now, the clips I shared with you, if you're not familiar with Afrikaans, then I'm just going to put you in the picture. Basically, it's conversations between Reinhard Leach and Arnold de Blanche. Now, in the first one, Leach is basically calling Arnold saying, look, I need a fast car to go to Cape Town to get Aster, iron, basically. And the state says this refers to a firearm. And Leach says, if he does this, he will get someone who can, quote unquote, do the deed. And then Arnold, there's a long silence. And then Arnold says, look, do they take cash if we upgrade your vehicle? And he says, yes, they do. Leach comes back to Arnold saying how much it costs. I think it was 2,200 rand a day to upgrade the vehicle. And Arnold then said, cool, he will leave the money at the gate, at the security gates at the complex where they lived. And Leach said, that's fine. The guys there are cool. And then later he's talking again with Leach, expressing his concern over his minor child, that the child is becoming suspicious, that he's restless, and just basically asking Leach to keep an eye on him. Then they also talk about Vicky's drug habits, where Arnold is basically saying, yo, he's been there, he knows what it's like, it can't be easy for Leach to be living with that, and she doesn't want to go for a drug test. And Leach said, yeah, she wouldn't want to go. Another important conversation that was played in court during the Leach trial was about an affidavit that Arnold wanted from Leach, where Arnold stipulated what he needed in this affidavit, basically stating that Vicky wanted to take him out, have him killed, that she used drugs. That is also then the urgency that you can hear, that Arnold really needs this affidavit before a certain time. And if you look at the time, it was basically a day or 2 days before the divorce hearing was about to take place. And then Arnold also asks Leach if he knows why Vicky does not want to accept his offer, because the family court ruled that it should be a 50-50 split in terms of the accrual. Now, in any murder, it's all about motive. Who has got motive? That is so crucial in a murder trial. And that is what the state is going to be hammering on, is the fact that Arnold had motive. So it will be very interesting to see how the defense tackles these voice notes. And I know that there are more that will probably be played during Ter Blanche's trial. The timeline has also been very interesting to me, because the conversation about the affidavit was on the 17th of October, and Vicky was murdered in the early hours of the 19th, which was also the day of the divorce hearing. And the day after that, Arnold and Crystal went to Johannesburg. Then another big hurdle for the defense, Phindile Zweni, the man who pocketed R500,000 from Arnold. He's the man who organized special privileges for Arnold in prison, got him to see his son and Crystal, the one who told Arnold he was responsible for raiding his cell and confiscating his phone and his notebook. Zweni is also a 204 witness, and his testimony will be crucial, a crucial element in this trial, because Zweni is an alleged shady character at best, and the defense will no doubt have a good go at him. Then just quickly looking at the witness list, as I mentioned, it's the same list as in the Leach trial, but not everyone was called to the stand. On the list is Arnold's ex-wife, the woman he was married to before Vicky, whose name may or may not be called, which is why I won't mention her. Also some family members of Vicky and Arnold who may or may not be called. Also, the big hurdles, as I call them, could be on the stand for an entire day, if not longer, as the cross-examination will in no way be cut and dry. Then there is one witness whose name I will not mention yet, because in my investigation into this story and during my research for my book on the trial, I've connected some dots with relation to one witness and his or her actions that followed the murder that I think might be a problem for Ter Blanche. And my suspicions were validated with just one question Advocate Stunder asked Leach on the stand. In fact, if memory serves, it was the very last question he asked Leach, but I will leave that potential plot twist for when it plays out in court. In closing, as we approach the upcoming trial, it will be very interesting to know who, if anyone, the defense will call as witnesses.
And you made him take part in the Huisgenoot Ware Lewensdrama documentary, of which I was part of as well. Can I assume that he's going to take the stand?
Well, let's start off with the Huisgenoot story. Nobody has approached Arnold to hear his side of the story. He's got nothing to hide.
Mm.
He doesn't mind the questions being put to him because he knows what he knows. It's as simple as that.
Mm.
To come back to your question, if Arnold is going to take the stand, if and only if the trial reaches the stage for the defense to produce evidence, Arnold will most definitely testify in his own defense. But that is if that stage of the proceedings is reached. Because you must remember that at the close of the state case, for the prosecution at any trial, if the court is of the opinion that there is no evidence that the accused committed the offence referred to in the charge or any offence of which he may be convicted on the charge, it may at that stage already return a verdict of not guilty.
But the extra charges that Arnold was slapped with the R500,000 he gave to Phindile Zweni, and his explanation for it is very believable. And respectfully to Mr. Zweni, this was someone who saw a man in prison who obviously has a lot of money, and he might have thought, I could get something out of this guy.
Doreen,
he's desperate, he's in prison, he has money.
Doreen, I agree with you fully. I agree with you 100%. You know, but the question arises, how does a man like Zweni get access to a person inside St. Albans prison? Remember, Zweni was taken to Arnold inside prison to his cell wearing a
police
jacket, being introduced by members of correctional services to Arnold as a colonel in the police. And he tells him it's important that we have communication with each other. And in front of the persons, the employees, the head of prison, he hands him a cell phone and says, if you need to contact me, here's a cell phone. It goes further than that. Zweni arranges that he be booked out of prison and taken to his house doctor. Zweni arranges for contact visits between him and his son. What must Arnold believe?
And who would say no?
Well, precisely. But I mean, if this happens with the blessing of your people at correctional services, and if you are seen by Zweni in the head of correctional services office, why would you think that there's anything untoward?
That was an Algo FM News exclusive.